Psalm 121. Our text for the message this afternoon will be taken from John, but as our scripture reading, I'll read Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for calling us together as an assembly of those who have been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the means of the Word of God, spoken to us by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead. We pray that this afternoon we would be able to give glory and honor to the Father. We thank you that we have an inheritance in heaven awaiting each one of us, that we will share in the glories which you gave to the Lord Jesus Christ when he ascended to heaven. We thank you that Jesus Christ is coming again. We thank you that he will come and that he will right every wrong and that he will rule in perfect righteousness and justice and mercy. And we thank you that we will reign and rule with him when he comes. We pray, Lord, that each person here in our assembly this afternoon will prepare their hearts for that day. We do not know when Christ will return, but we know that he will. So we ask that those who have refused to repent and who have committed themselves to a life of sin would see their foolishness, see their rebellion, see the hopelessness of coming against the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pray that you would conquer their hearts now and make them willing to serve you and put a new heart within them that delights in doing your will, that has the law of God written on that heart. They look to that law to obey it for your glory. We pray, Father, that you would grow this church in maturity. We pray that the members of this church would love one another, would serve one another, would be tender-hearted toward one another, would be humble toward one another, and would show brotherly love toward one another. We thank you for calling us out of a world of darkness and transferring us to the kingdom of your dear Son. And I pray that you would speak to us one more time from your word as we meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ kneeling in the Garden of Gethsemane and praying and pouring out his heart before he goes to the cross. We pray that you would open up our hearts to receive the word of truth one more time. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Turn, please, for our text this afternoon to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. As many of you know, this is the high priestly prayer of our Lord. This is his prayer before he went to the cross. And I believe that what we have in John chapter 17 is a pattern of how Christ often prayed. This prayer is not unique to this particular time, but that it is a prayer that Christ would have often prayed while he was on earth. And our meditation this afternoon will be brief. We will be looking at one verse, verse 24, where Christ says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory, that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Amen. As I've already mentioned, The Lord Jesus Christ was very, very close to the cross at this point. He had one last great act of obedience to do for the Father. Before time began, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit took counsel together concerning the redemption of mankind. And the Father charged the Son to become a man and to live a perfect life and to die a perfect death. And the Son vowed that He would do so. And here we have Jesus Christ at the moment before He fulfills that vow to His Father. And He makes a very specific request in verse 24. He requests of the Father that they whom You have given Me may be with Me where I am to see My glory that You have given Me. Christ desires that His disciples, that His brothers and sisters, see His glory in heaven. And I want to consider very briefly the two reasons why Christ makes this request of His Father. Why is it that Christ desires that we see Him in His glory? That we see Him in the fullness of His glory in heaven? And the first reason is because to see Christ in all of His glory is our greatest good and our highest joy. You and I were made to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I were made to reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God made Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, He made them perfect, and He stamped His image on them. And Adam and Eve were to be the image bearers of God, and they were to fill the whole earth with His glory. They were to be fruitful and to multiply. They were to fill the earth and subdue it. And everywhere that they went and their offspring went, they were to take the glory of God. And they were to reflect God's glory in all creation. And God made them perfect for that purpose. He looked at all of His creation in Adam and Eve and He pronounced it very good. That is, it was morally perfect. There was nothing lacking. They could perfectly reflect the glory of the triune God who had made them. But after the fall, that image of God was defaced. And now we as fallen mankind are not able to reflect the glory of God as we were made to do. And Jesus Christ, when He came on earth, went about doing good. That is, Jesus Christ was the second Adam. He fulfilled all that Adam was supposed to have done. Peter tells us in Acts chapter 10 that Jesus Christ went about doing good. He went about doing good. Can you imagine someone saying that about you at your funeral? This man, this woman, went about doing good. That's how Peter described the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, in perfect conformity to the moral law. Jesus Christ went about doing good. And then He ascended into heaven, where He continues to redeem fallen sinners. And He redeems us for the purpose of reflecting His glory in the world. So that when lost individuals look at us as Christians, they are to see something of the Lord Jesus Christ, something of His great glory. And it ought to be our greatest desire that when we go to heaven, we can finally and fully see the Lord Jesus Christ in His glory and reflect Him perfectly. Do you not get weary sometimes that because you still have sin, you don't reflect Christ as you ought? And because you don't perfectly understand the Scripture, because you don't perfectly understand who Jesus is, you don't understand how best to reflect Him to a watching world. All of that will be changed when we enter into glory. That faith will be turned into sight. We will see Jesus Christ as He is. There will be no more sin in our members of our body. And we will be able to reflect perfectly the glory that we see. It is an amazing thing that this church will be in heaven. And you will get to see your fellow members of this congregation. You will see them perfect. You will see each one perfectly reflecting the glory of the risen Lord. That is an amazing thought. That as we look around the congregation this afternoon, and we know how each one of us fail to reflect the glory of the Lord, but someday that will change. Someday you will look at your brother or sister in Christ, and they will be perfect, and you will be perfect, and you will be reflecting the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ to one another, and you will worship Him in perfection, and you will be able to see Him as He is, and you will be able to love Him as you ought. Jesus Christ, when He prays that we would see His glory, is praying for the redemption and renewal of all things, the consummation of creation, that we would be exactly as we were created to be. Does that not give you rest? It is very wearisome to be a Christian because you are always fighting. You've always got the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. You're always marching off to war, most of the time against yourself with the sins that you have, sometimes against others that are sinning against Christ. And in heaven, you get to lay down the sword. You get to lay down the shield, and you get to take off the helmet, and you get to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the Lord Jesus Christ will Himself serve you. And you will be able to partake of that supper as a perfect individual, fully resting in the glory of Jesus Christ. We don't have to obtain a certain level before we can enter heaven. It is the glory of Christ that makes heaven so special and so wonderful. It's not all of us gathered there that makes heaven special. It's the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and us reflecting His glory. But secondly, there's another reason why Christ desires in verse 24 that we see His glory. And it is even more amazing than our highest good and joy. And that is that Jesus Christ desires that we see His glory in heaven because it is His joy to have us see Him. Isn't that amazing? The Lord Jesus Christ desires us to see His glory because it fills Him with joy. You can imagine a bride on her wedding day. And as she comes down the aisle to meet her groom, she wants that man to see her at her very best. And she wants all of her friends to do what they can to make her look beautiful for that bridegroom. And she wants, when her bridegroom looks down the aisle to see her coming, to have her be the most beautiful woman in the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to see Him as beautiful. The disciples had seen Him humiliated. They'd seen Him torn down from the cross, naked and bleeding. And Jesus Christ wants us as His disciples to see Him fully glorified. He wants us to see Him as fully beautiful, as fully wonderful, so that when we look on Him, we can be certain that everything through which we've gone in this world is worth it. Because He knows that one look at His glory will be enough for all of us. One look at the Lord Jesus Christ and we will immediately say it was worth it. To be a Christian was worth it. The struggles I've gone through are nothing. One look at the Lord Jesus Christ and we will be fully satisfied, fully repaid for everything which He has asked us to go through. And that is so comforting and so encouraging. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is our King, asks us to do very difficult things. And some of you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death. And some of you, like Pilgrim in Pilgrim's Progress, have gone through the valley of the shadow of death at night and all alone. and you felt very disturbed, and it has been very difficult to be a Christian at those times. But in those times, the Lord Jesus Christ is preparing you to see His glory. He is preparing your eyes to behold Him as wonderful and as beautiful. He is using each event in your life, as difficult as it is, and as grievous as it is, He is using each event in your life to fulfill this request, that you would one day see His glory as He truly is in heaven. And each circumstance in your life is preparing you to be able to enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ as your bridegroom in heaven. And one day we will be with Him where He is. And one day we will see His glory. And one day we will reflect that glory. And one day we will understand something of how deep the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is for His people. We yearn for the second coming of Christ. He longs for it even more than we do. Jesus Christ longs to come and to be with us far more than we long to be with Him. And that's an amazing thing. He has purchased us. We are His. He wants to take us home to be with Him. And He is sanctifying you, and He is preparing you to be with Him one day. And we ought to go forward in the knowledge of the love of Christ for our souls. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we confess that this is an overwhelming thought, that the Lord Jesus Christ desires us to see His glory. We thank You that You have glorified Him, that You have exalted Him and given Him the name that is above every name, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And we thank You that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And we pray that the power of that name would be at work in this church, that when the gospel goes forward, the lost would hear and be saved, and that this prayer would once again be answered. And for those who are elderly in our midst, for those who are approaching the Jordan River and are fearful of death, we pray that they would be assured and comforted and made to be unafraid because their Savior has prayed that they would see His glory. And I pray that as they approach death and as they approach old age, that they would take this promise, take this prayer, and keep it close to their heart, and so comfort themselves as they prepare to see Christ in all of His glory. We pray in His name. Amen.